The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 11, verse 1. Well, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for God's glory. Live in such a way as to cause no trouble either to Jews or Gentiles or to the church of God. Just do as I do. I try to please everyone in all that I own good, but of the good of all, so that they might be saved. Imitate me then, just as I imitate Christ. And the second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. You must be self-controlled and alert to be able to pray. Above everything, love one another earnestly, because love covers over many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each one, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. Those who preach must preach God's messengers. Those who serve must serve with the strength that God gives them, so that in all things praise may be given to God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In all things that praise may be given through Jesus Christ. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I shortly want to show a couple of very brief videos, but first of all, I want to start today by talking about next week, next Sunday. And next week, and you'll see in the little flyer that I've printed out that next week I'll be mentioning about Lilias Trotter. And I only found out or heard about Lilias Trotter's story about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And she's not particularly well known, and that's actually part of her story that we'll hear next week. She should be really, really well known, but she's not. In preparation for that, probably this afternoon or tomorrow, I'm going to email out to you a YouTube link of a documentary about her called Many Beautiful Things. And I encourage you to watch that this week in preparation for next Sunday. If you don't have access to YouTube, let me know and I'll try and find a way for you to view that. But what would be really brilliant would be a few of you to get together and watch it together. It goes for about an hour and 10 minutes. But just a bit of a warning that it may be the most extraordinary, beautiful documentary that you see this year. It is, I was deeply, deeply moved when I watched this documentary. Now, part of the reason me saying that is, so next week is the congregation meeting that we'll have after the service, and there'll be some things that, whether it be at the congregation meeting or over the next little while, again, as we have done over the last couple of years, to think about our future and what's happening and what we're about and those sorts of things. And a question that comes to my mind after I watched this documentary and heard something of her story is, on what basis do we make our decisions? On what basis do we make our decisions? I encourage you to watch this documentary and to answer that question after you watch it in regards to Lilias Trotter. On what basis does she make her decisions in life? And folks, it's an extraordinary story. A As I said, if you don't have access, if you don't have YouTube, let me know and we'll try and find a way. That's next week. Okay. I'm just going to slip out there and just watch it, hopefully put on a couple of videos. That's a statue. Tell us about that statue there, Rosemary. That's Bach, yes. Do you know where that is? That'd be in Germany somewhere? Do you know where Bach was born? Anyway, that comes later. I better not do that. So these two little short, one's about a minute, one's about 20 seconds. They'll be self-explanatory. And they worked fantastically about an hour and a half ago, okay? I think I had this PowerPoint here. Let me just go. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's okay. Let's just go back here.
So you guys had to deal with quite a lot out there, not just the conditions, the delay, overall. How did you find the experience?
It was a memorable competition. No, it was good. I don't think I've ever actually come out of the competition arena, and we were in here and they were discussing whether we were to cancel tonight and postpone it. So to keep mentally very strong during that was a new test. I've been in the sport for a long time, but I'm experiencing something new every day.
And how do you do it? What do you fall back on?
You know, the training is one thing, of course. You know, you can be in the best shape ever, but training only gets you so far. For competition, I know it's a great pressure that reveals the foundation. And for me, comes down to the reason I'm in sport is that God's given me a gift, and it's my gift to give back to Him. And so when I have all the pressure and the rain and the crowd and the wind and the cold, I look to Him and just say, like, this is a passion that you've given me, I'm giving it back. And it gives me this kind of fire that the rain can never drown it out. And I've been jumping now for 20 years and it's still enough, you know, 20 years later, it's still this absolute joy that I get to do.
Wow, that's something special to have. So, I mean, to get that final jump and then to know you got a medal, that must be vindication then.
Oh, yeah, it was a good attempt, the 196 in the wet weather. So I think Eleanor, who won the gold medal, she just brings the very best out of me. So I think jumping close to 10 o'clock at night and being pushed to that level, it really revealed actually the training's going well, and this competition is a big one, but we've also got more for the rest of the season. So it's showing that we're in the right direction.
Yeah, and you, like you say, you two do bring the best out of each other. It's been another magical night for you guys, hasn't it?
Yeah, just throughout Australia as well. I think it's been a memorable night that people are waking up and having their breakfast cereal and watching a world-class high jump competition in the rain.
They don't know what they're missing here. This is a summer here in Scotland, you know.
Yeah, I'm learning that.
Well, huge congratulations, and thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you again.
First and foremost, just want to thank God and my Lord and Savior for this opportunity, because this wouldn't happen without Him. So all praise and glory goes to Him. Earlier, I just want to thank Nick, the board, and the Sydney Roosters for this opportunity, and being able to play all 300 games here. It's truly a blessing, so I'm thankful.
Thanks, Rosemary. There's Nicola Slaggers, who won silver medal at the women's high jump at the Commonwealth Games. Eleanor Patterson won the gold. And now I've talked about Nicola previously, but very overtly Christian and wants to give God glory for what she does and recognises that. And the second video there was Daniel Tupou, who plays for the Sydney Roosters in the NRL. That was on the occasion about a month ago, I suppose, on his 300th game for the Sydney Roosters, or Eastern Suburbs, for those who used to know them. And the first thing he does is recognises his Lord and Saviour Jesus, and acknowledges that very openly. There are two verses in 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter that those two videos are examples of, and that is to give God glory. And in all that you do, to give God the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and particularly verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now the context here, and context is always important, but the context in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 here is about eating certain food. So the Paul's talking to the Corinthians here, and some of whom are concerned about food that's been dedicated in a temple. And sometimes that was sold in the marketplaces as well. And they're going, well, should we eat that or shouldn't? It's been dedicated to an idol. Should we eat that food? What? So he's given them some instructions about this. And basically he comes back to this. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But he goes on to say, but as you do that, don't cause anyone to stumble. Always in your actions and your attitudes, it's not about your needs, it's about the needs of your fellow believer. So whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, but in your actions and your attitudes, don't make another fellow believer stumble. Even verse 33, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Do it all for the glory of God. And this is very similar in 1 Peter that these verses pick up on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, a bit later, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, so that God may be praised. So similar to that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Peter here is saying that while service is directed towards helping others, both within the Christian community, both within the church and more broadly into the wider community, that while service is directed there and to build up the church, its ultimate purpose, Peter says, its ultimate purpose of service is that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate purpose, that God may be glorified. So that here it is not only in our words that we're to glorify God, give praise to God, praise the Lord, that sort of thing. But also, and importantly, in our attitudes, our behaviours, and our actions, that all of which are to honour God. C.S. Lewis, I read again during the week his, he didn't always give sermons in the late 1930s. And it was called The Weight of Glory. And it's definitely worth a listen or a read. It might take a few times to read through it, and C.S. Lewis got quite profound at times and quite deep. But this is a sermon where he's particularly talking about glory and of ultimately connects it in with these passages about particularly 1 Corinthians 10, that it's for the glory of God and all that we do. And at one point he talks about art and recognizing and books and reading and of, I'll just read the quote and then I'll say a few things. He says this, "The books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them, it only came through them. And what came through them was longing. These things, the beauty, the memory of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshippers. For they are not the thing in itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited. Now, it might take about three or four readings to go, oh, what? But in a sense, he's saying that we admire the beauty of things, but he's suggesting is that they actually only point us to something further. They point us beyond ourselves to a beauty and a glory that comes from God. We see it around us in something that we read or something, some music that we listen to, a piece of art that we admire. But C.S. Lewis is saying here, they are fantastic. But what they do is that they point us to a beauty. We see a beauty through them, ultimately to God, who is both the glorifier and the glorified, and who is glory himself. That they actually point us to God. So whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And that takes us to Johann Sebastian Bach. Just take a minute, folks, just to listen to a little bit of Bach. And of course, we hear a lot of Bach here because the con students, when they come, inevitably there's some Bach. Jeremy Stafford was on his classic guitar here a few weeks ago at Music Lovers. The first piece he played was Bach. This one, perhaps just go to the folder there, just over here, and click on that. Yeah, double click on there. That is written by Johann Sebastian Bach, Air on the G String there, performed by a friend of ours, Liz Young, who I think some of you have probably heard at National Seniors. I think Liz has come and played at National Seniors a few times, but an extraordinary violinist she is. Bach was born in 1685 in this little town called Eisenach. I hope that's how you pronounce it. Just below the valley of the Wartburg Castle. And he was the youngest of a number of children. And by the age of 10, both of his parents had died. And he was looked after predominantly by his older brother, who was a musician. And particularly an organist. And so he was highly influenced by his older brother, and particularly in regards to music. And his older brother was a church organist, and ultimately Bach began to play and went to various schools and ends up playing particularly on church organ. And he was known a lot at that time. And, for example, as a 17, 18-year-old, he's playing the church organ in various places, and he moves around to different localities and begins to write as well. And just to be able to say, I said to Jenny every now and then, but I so appreciate the postludes that she plays for us. And my guess is that some of you probably listen to that or watch it on YouTube. And Jenny, thank you for those pieces that you play at the end particularly. And the organist and the musicians amongst us, thank you so much for what you do as well. If we look closely at Bach's manuscripts, they reveal something of his deep Christian conviction and can also encourage us to consider how we approach each and every day and every moment of our lives. And that's what I want to touch on briefly. Bach concludes all of his sacred compositions, and indeed many of his what we might call secular works, with the phrase Soli Deo Gloria. Okay, so let's test out our Latin here. Soli Deo Gloria. Soli, it means, where's all our Latin students? Oh, okay. Soli said, we can have a guess at this. So Gloria would mean, Gloria, apart from an amazing woman's name, Gloria means glory. Okay. Deo, God. Soli, S-O-L-I, alone, sorry. So Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be glory. So Bach, pretty much all of his manuscripts, you'll either see those words or you'll see the letters SDG at the end of his compositions. Now, this was not unique to Bach. Other composers of his time did something similar. George Frederick Handel would do this. Handel, of course, wrote the extraordinary work Messiah. At the start of his compositions, sometimes, not always, but sometimes Bach would also write the letters JJ, which stood for Jesu, or Help Me Jesus. At the start, in a sense, he would have this prayer as he would begin his work on his compositions, this prayer to God to help him as he continued his work. And in doing that, and in these words or these letters, Soli Deo Gloria, Bach would conclude his compositions as well by putting those words or those letters. And in so doing, Bach affirmed that the aim and final end of all music should be done none other than for the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. It's words not that far removed from the very first question of the Westminster Confession. Okay, so here's another. I didn't go so good with the Latin, but what about the Westminster Confession? Come on, some of you know this, I know. The first question of the Westminster Confession is, what is our chief end? Yeah, a bit louder. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And this is pretty consistent with what Bach would put on his manuscripts. There's one commentator has said that Bach, like Martin Luther before him, which was not, you know, they're sort of contemporaries in some ways, not that far apart from each other, like Martin Luther before him, understood that all of life can and should be lived for the glory of God alone. Okay. Now, not all of us are great great composers of concertos or cello suites or cantatas or symphonias or passions or masses or oratorios or solo works for harpsichord and clavichord or organ. Or chamber and solo instrumental works for violin or flute or oboe, as did Bach. How did he find time to have 20 children? I don't know, when he was... I was talking to a friend of ours the other day who's a musician and particularly stringed instruments, and like Simon, just in awe of Bach, of just how much he produced. Just extraordinary. And the quality of what he produced. Now, we're not all great composers of those sorts of things, so what can we learn from this very simple yet profound act that Bach did? Well, one thing is to reflect on how we start and end our day. So just as Bach, at the start of his blank manuscript, when it was there, he would put JJ, Jesus, help me. And as he concluded his work of composition with Soli Deo Gloria, we can learn from that as we begin and end our day. Our society often encourages us to glory in ourselves or to glory in humanity. And that's what I really love about like those videos from Nicola and Daniel, that straight up it's about glory not to them but to God. Okay, so often in our society it's the other way around. And so here's a much needed and healthy pointing away from this to rather recognise that all praise and honour and glory is to be directed to God, who's the giver of all good gifts, just as it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Peter 4. So in this act of Bach is an encouragement for us to do two simple acts of prayer each day. At the start of the day, to pray, O Lord, whatever it is that I will do this day, help me, Jesus. And at the close of each day, a simple prayer. O Lord, wherever it is that I have done this day that has brought credit to you, be the glory alone. I suspect that our days would take on a renewed perspective if we said these two heartfelt prayers each and every day, these prayers that Bach said. Help me, Jesus, and to you alone, O God, be glory. We pray. Lord our God, help us as we come to this day, whatever it holds for us, whatever this week holds for us, help us, Jesus. And as this day draws to a close, O Lord, and as this week continues, help us in all that we do to do it for your glory, in the service of others, to point to you in and through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.